We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Great to have you with us. Good morning, I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Lots to get to today, from the Brewers to the NBA Finals, to the Packers, to the U.S. Open this weekend. I want to start with this tweet that I just got from Mike 15 minutes ago. And he says, at Wings Thinks, you're at Chuck Freeman. We're at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can tweet during the show constantly. You can call during the show, of course, to participate. 414-799-1250. Mike tweets in, I am already sick of hearing about what a great story it is with the St. Louis Blues. Like, that town needs another championship. And then he goes, hashtag jealous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that St. Louis's first Stanley Cup, and we know the Cardinals, you know, winning all these World Series titles, and the Rams back in the day.
Well, they lost the Rams. I mean, that don't count.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still won a championship there.
Yeah, but I think the heartbreak of losing a team weighs heavier than the joy of a title.
I mean, they had a nice run there. Didn't win as many Super Bowls as we thought. I mean, they lost. They opened the door for New England to begin their run back in the early 2000s when they were a heavy favorite in New Orleans, and St. Louis beat them, and that started
that's when people liked the Patriots.
Yeah, that's they were the underdog. It was like, what are the Patriots and this Tom Brady, this sixth round draft pick, doing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Now we just have been done with the Patriots for the last several years. So St. Louis wins this. They were in last place in January. I'm sure you'll hear a lot about
January
that
2nd. They were still in last place.
Last place. At one point, they were a 250-1 long shot to win the Stanley Cup. 250-1 during the regular season. I think it was 30-1 during the beginning of the season. But they did something that was tough to do. Go on the road in a game 7. But at least Boston didn't win the championship. I mean, if anything, I would much rather see St. Louis win a championship.
You know, I agree with that.
And then the city of Boston, my God, they went 6 months without celebrating.
Do you like, so Mike tweets in and he doesn't like that this team won, and it's a great story because they've never won. And so for 52 years, they've never won. And there's one video that we posted at 105.7 FM, The Fan, on Twitter. Our friend Scott Grodzki on CBS 58.
Sure.
I was tickled pink by this video. His dad, lifelong Blues fan.
Okay.
And he was videotaping his dad reacting to them winning. I just thought it was really, really cool to see that. So I do tend to, as long as it's not at my expense, right? Like, I'm not rooting for the Raptors. But if there's another team and this is a league where we don't have a team, okay, it's nice to see fan bases that have gone through the struggle of being a fan, I think, that we have, get over that hump, because maybe it means there's hope for us. To see a team wearing blue and yellow as their primary colors win their first championship, I'm thinking, okay, let's see that again in October, maybe.
Although when Boston broke their long spell, and the Red Sox broke their long spell back in 2004 with that group right there, because they had not won a World Series title in many years, and the Cubs won theirs in 2016, I wasn't like relief for either one of those fan bases. Not at all. And now it's even worse because, the Cubs, everybody's on the Cubs bandwagon. Wherever, I guess, and Boston, they've won a few since then. So, but I mean, like a team like St. Louis, or like when the Minnesota Twins won their two World Series titles. All right, I don't hate the Twins like I do the Vikings, but when the Twins won, I was like, man, that was kind of a cool thing. The Twins winning the World Series in 87 and 91, I was there covering. Yeah, St. Louis winning a Stanley Cup. I'm not. Yeah, I think it's kind of a
neat
deal.
I'm not pumped. I mean, it's nice. I'm just saying it's nice.
But I wish it was
saying I have a little bit of
course.
appreciation for what they did. And again, we have no hockey team.
No, but I always...
So that's why I'm able to say that.
But when I hear all these starving, and I hear the National people talk about these trophy-starving fans, I think about, you know, nobody ever says about us.
Because they lump the Packers.
Yeah, I think they do. I think that, which is not right, because Milwaukee, we're our own team here, our own city here, and here in Milwaukee, we haven't had anything to celebrate since 1971. If you want to cover count Marquette in 1977, but, you know, 71 when the Bucks won it.
Milwaukee, I don't know. I mean,
a different time then.
I know, but the Packers, I get why we get lumped into that.
Well, yeah.
For a lot of people, the Packers are still their favorite team in this city.
Oh, of course. And I get that. And the Packers had home games here, and they played playoff games here at County Stadium. So I get that. But they're true home. They're the Green Bay Packers. I mean, our teams here in Milwaukee, I still look at it. I mean, the ones that we can wrap our arms truly around are the Bucks and the Brewers.
I look at it as it's the Wisconsin Packers, it's the Wisconsin Brewers, it's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've always said, Milwaukee's more of a southeastern team, southeastern Wisconsin team.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Brewers and Packers, more statewide.
So if the Brewers are so statewide, why do we always say we're a small market? We're just little Milwaukee. We should include the whole state. Can't you include the whole state? The Brewers are a state team.
Well.
Can't you include the Brewers? Can't you include Green Bay and Madison? All these people are taking buses here.
Well, then you do that for... you know, parts of Missouri for St. Louis, and you do the same thing for, I guess, New York, the state of New York, you know, with the Yankees and the Mets. I mean, Boston, you could say they own the whole East Coast, you know, that whole seaboard there. Then where do you stop? I mean, Miami, you could say the Marlins, okay, how come more people aren't going to Marlins games? Them and Tampa should own the whole state of Florida. So, but I think, where do you stop on that?
That's a good question. I'm going to pivot to a different conversation. There was that guy, you might have heard about this guy. If you don't feel good for the Blues, you can feel good for this guy. You mentioned the odds were 250-1.
Yeah.
Someone did put down a $400 bet on the Blues.
And we always hear about these kind of bets, too.
Yeah, so maybe we should do something crazy like that and profit.
Yeah, on our teams?
Go put 400 on the Brewers.
Sure.
But now they have they're good enough that they have good odds.
Don't know. I mean, even like the Bucks winning their series, I would never have put when they played. They're heavily favored against Toronto. Heavily favored against Toronto. I would have never put money on the Bucks to win that series.
So he put down $400 to win $100,000, but he kept being offered money along the way to buy the ticket back. Before game one, he was offered $40,000. Before game six, he was offered $75,000. He said, I'm not hedging.
You mean from the...
Yeah, the casino.
The casino, really?
He said, I'm not hedging.
Okay.
Not doing it.
Oh, wow.
And then he won the $100,000.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, he stayed with it.
Okay.
He stayed with it, and he won the $100,000. So congratulations to him, if anybody.
Yeah. So he placed that bet when?
He placed that bet, I don't know I don't know if it's officially the casino that offered it.
Yeah.
I have very limited information that I'm reading off this tweet. I am not an expert on the story. I probably should have done more research or not even brought it up.
Well, like the NCAA tournament.
I just thought it was cute.
When somebody gets to the Final Four, like Loyola or, you know, someone, a Cinderella story, you always hear, hey, so-and-so, an alumni, put, $50 on this team, and it was a 500-1 shot. Always hear these stories about somebody betting on their team, and if they win, they're going to win such and such amount of money.
Alyssa tweets in, guys, it's not the Wisconsin way to win titles. We get to the semifinals, build a lead, and then choke it away. You remember the Packers in Seattle? You remember the Bucks with Toronto? You remember the Brewers in L.A.? You remember the Badgers in any Big Ten championship? That's the Wisconsin way.
Oh, lately it's been. Yeah, in the last 10 years. Except for the 2010 Super Bowl. But yeah, she's right. Yeah. Get to the bridesmaid part, and then that's it. Fall apart.
Did you see this tweet now that I'm just kind of focused on Twitter right now? At 105.7FM, the fan. So tired of that clown Winks thinks, that's me, wanting the Brewers to add more pitching. Woodruff, Jeffress, Hader, Hauser, and crew look just fine to me. Hashtag Team Chuck. Hashtag in Stearns we trust. Hashtag free Horvat. Hashtag Ellerson Nation. I wrote that tweet last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Oh. Well, look at this. You got a game last night, and we'll get into this with the Brew Crew Review in just a couple of minutes. A game last night where I want pitching, I want pitching, I want pitching, and then what happens last night? The Brewers succeed because of a lot of their pitching.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Adrian Hauser, man. A couple of weeks ago, they were facing, they were on a Saturday night game somewhere, and they hung in there, and because of Adrian Hauser, because he got out of a couple of jams, and I thought, man, okay, a little worried with him in there, but he has actually been damn good out of the bullpen. I mean, he's got some electric stuff. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Goose Gossage, but still, he's a nice fit in that bullpen. And he got the W by going two scoreless innings last night to finish out that game.
Forget about all the recent closers like Mariano Rivera and even Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah.
Or even like a Dennis Eckersley.
Well, I'm talking about a guy who's throwing gas, Bart.
Okay.
And then Goose got it up there to 98 whenever he wanted. And that's what Hauser was doing last night.
So Hauser, in his last eight games, Brewers win 6-3 in 14 innings. In Hauser's last eight games, 15 innings pitched.
Yeah.
15 innings pitched, okay? He's allowed 7 hits. He's struck out 21. He has walked 7. And he has allowed no earned runs.
Yeah, he's been great. Augie's going to join us at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him about it. I mean, because Hauser, he's got a variety of pitches, as you see out there. And, you know, the fastball being one of them, but he's got a few other. So, he was involved in the Hader trade, wasn't he?
Hader, Hauser, Domingo, and Phillips.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this
and so off of that trade with the Astros, what you have right now is Ben Gamel from Domingo, Mike Moustakas from Brett Phillips, you have Josh Hader, and you have Adrian Hauser.
Yeah.
So, maybe one of the better trades the Brewers have ever been a part of.
Sure.
Especially if now Hauser becomes like this year's, you know, they need somebody to fill in the Corey Knebel role. And he could be doing that.
I went to bed after the Brewers got that extra run last night to make it 6-3 during Travis Shaw's at bat. I did not want to see him go 0-6. And it looked like he did. He struck out his final at bat. So Travis Shaw went 0-6 last night, dropping his average to 167. Boy. You know, they were talking on the broadcast that he had been hitting well as of late and then came yesterday. But a lot of players struck out last night, had rough nights. You don't win a game usually when you strike out 24 times. That's what the Brewers did last night.
We'll talk more about the strike that's coming up. So you didn't see the bottom of the 14th then. You assumed at 6-3 the Brewers were going to win?
I was watching them. I mean, I was watching it on the GameCast.
Okay.
I saw a guy walked two outs. I mean, I'm never 6-3. I'm never going to completely write off the game.
I figured that if you went to bed at 6-3, I wanted to know how likely you thought it would be that you woke up and they lost 8-6.
No, but I had to get to bed. It was 11 o'clock, and I just went, you know, I brushed my teeth and all that, went to bed and looked at my phone, and there was a guy at first and two outs, and next thing it said, final score, 6-3 Brewers.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll talk more about the Brewers, including the 24 strikeouts that they had in this game. Was it 19 in the 9 innings? It was a lot. I think it was 19 in the 9 innings and then 24 overall. Just not a great performance in that department, but the Brewers still get the victory, and that's what counts. 6-3 to final. The Brew Crew Review coming up next. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Moustakas drives one deep right center field, and there it goes! Mike Moustakas does it again! A two-run bomb, number 21, and the Brewers have the lead in the 14th inning.
Are those some mooses down in Houston, or are those some booze?
Oh, boy, it sounded like a combination of both. At first, I thought, wow, they're saying moose, but are they booing their guy for giving up the game-winning dinger to moose? But I saw some Brewer fans down there.
Well, typically what happens, because that was in the 14th inning when Mike Moustakas made it 5-3, Brewers tacked on one more, so 6-3 the final in 14. I feel like what happens in these extra inning games is if there's visiting fans, they will gut it out. You know, because they're at the visiting park, and they made this trip to see their team, or it's a really special occasion. Home fans might start leaving during these extra inning games. So then if there is a big moment, for the road team, it might sound more like the home team because they've got, you know, more, maybe if not more fans willing to be loud.
I feel like the Brewers are winning more of these late extra inning games than ever before, because usually when a game goes past the 10th inning, 11th, 12th, 13th inning, 14th inning, you don't feel real good about them on the road. On the road. But you know, they've won a couple, including last night against the Astros. They got by all their hard-throwing relief guys, and they were able to get the run in the 14th. The Brewer bullpen, too, hung in there after Woodruff gave him a game last night.
Let's see. The Brewers, I think, I'm just looking at the schedule here, maybe six extra inning games. They won against the Mets. That was an 18-inning game.
That was home.
Saturday, May 4th. They were in Chicago, a 15-inning game on a Saturday. They lost that one, 2-1.
Yeah.
They lost in Atlanta in 10 innings, 4-3, and then they won the next day in Atlanta, 3-2, another 10-inning game.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last couple of games, the Saturday game again against Pittsburgh, they won 12-10, 13 innings, so they won late. Adrian Hauser got the win in that one, and then he gets the win again last night, 6-3, the final in 14. It looks like this was the first, so they've played six extra inning games, and this was the first one not on a weekend. And somebody tweeted me last night, John, that said, can I just go on record saying baseball regular season extra inning rules are the worst things in sports? And I said, I love the extra innings, but when they're on the weekends. I don't like them during the week because then obviously you got to stay up. I mean, it's the reason you and I don't like the West Coast games as much. But I wouldn't want to tweak anything. I know that in hockey there's like a 5-minute overtime and then you get a point either way. And then in the playoffs you go long in overtime. I know in the minor leagues and in like this Atlantic League they're trying to start a runner on second base in the 10th inning. I don't want to see anything like that.
No.
I'll suck it up the few nights that it happens if I have to as a fan to watch these extra inning games. I've always loved extra innings. I've always loved looking at the box score after. I love the game going long. I always root for it to go as long as possible so it can be like a really special thing. So even though it was a Wednesday night and it's late and we all want to go to bed, I don't want to touch the extra inning rules at all.
You know, in the box scores, you always see some bad batting averages after the game. Like, Lorenzo Cain went 0 for 6 last night. 0 for 6. Travis Shaw went 0 for 6.
Are we not talking enough about Lorenzo Cain's struggles at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, he struck out four times.
There's so many other people struggling.
Yeah, I mean, that his batting average is slowly but surely, like a blood pressure, going lower and lower. And now it's dipped below 250. But it's been sinking for a leadoff guy. Do we cut him too much slack, though, because he's a veteran and he makes some plays and it seems like he comes up with clutch hits? But, boy, last night he was clueless at the plate. He was clueless. He bounced out weakly to second in one of his final at-bats, but, 0 for 6 with 4 Ks. I think we're giving him a little bit of a pass.
Do we cut him slack because he's so good defensively?
I think we cut him slack because he's a veteran and he's produced, but, you know, at the top of the order, you know, he's got to get on. And you know, he started off the season really, really strong, but as of late, 247. But I always feel like Cain, I mean, in the 2 years here, no one has really ever criticized him for anything. I mean, we've criticized Braun, other guys on the team, Thames, Aguilar, Shaw, of course, Arcia, never Cain.
240, listen to this, 247 is his average.
Mm-hmm.
A 306 on base percentage, 4 home runs, and 27 RBIs.
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay. Listen to this stat line. A 253 average, a 379 OBP, 9 home runs, and 27 RBI. That's Eric Thames, who's been criticized way more.
Who's making 3 times less than Cain, too.
And there's people on the station that have been trying to get him off the Brewers since he first came here.
Yeah.
Which I don't get.
And Cain, if he's not first in the lineup, he's third. If they put Gamble in the leadoff spot, they drop Cain down to 3. But, Cain is not having a great season by any means. So I guess you could almost throw him into the mix, too, of guys who are underwhelming this season.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to criticize Thames for hitting 253 and having 9 home runs and 27 RBIs, well, then Cain is hitting .247, yeah. Four home runs, 27 RBI.
Without a doubt. I'd like to see what he's hitting in the last month because, like I said, that I feel like that average has slowly tumbled where early in the season he's hitting in the 300s, and 280, 270, 260. Now it's under 250.
Well, here, I'll tell you, in the month of April, he hit .260 in the month just of April.
Mm-hmm.
In the month of May, Kane hit .234.
Mm-hmm.
And right now here in the month of June, 10 games, he's hitting .205.
Yeah, getting worse and worse.
So it is getting worse and worse,
yeah,
as the year goes on. The story last night, outside of the extra innings and maybe the pitching, the Woodruff-Verlander matchup, is the strikeouts. I mean, this team struck out 24 times. They struck out 19 times in the regular nine innings. All 19 of those were striking out swinging. The Brewers didn't strike out looking until the 13th inning, and they only did it twice, RC and Shaw. So of the 24 strikeouts, 22 of them were striking out swinging. I don't know if there's stats on that. You don't see that much, especially the 19.
The ratio, you mean?
Yeah, in the nine innings. Only two guys struck out looking.
Well, I kind of looked this up this morning. Ratio-wise, innings to strikeouts, it's one of the worst games in baseball history. The Major League record is 26 strikeouts, and that was done in 20 innings. And there's three teams tied for the most strikeouts at a game. And they all have 26 strikeouts. One was done in 20 innings, one was done in 18, and one was done in 12. Now, the Brewers, back in 2003, struck out 24 times in 17 innings. Last night, they struck out 24 times. It only took 14. So you see, ratio-wise, maybe the second-worst strikeout game in baseball history.
But they won.
But they ended up winning the game.
So this is one of the things that people, I think, have started to not like about baseball. Five of their six runs were via the home run, and then they struck out 24 times. So when you go to a baseball game, the triple and the double and the hit and runs and the bunts and the sacrifice, all those kind of things are being eliminated from the game, and basically what you're getting is either home runs or strikeouts.
How about that? Verlander goes seven innings, gives up four hits, three homers, and the other was the extra base hit by Thames. So they had no singles off Verlander. Three homers he gave up of his four hits. But, that's what they're saying. You know, people, that's the guys in the
offseason.
He off had
15 Ks, too.
But he had 15 Ks, yes. 15. But, I mean, 15 Ks, yet they connected for three of the four hits of home runs.
Right.
I mean, you would think that, you know, they'd have some base hits in there, if anything, you know, leakers or whatever. But, yeah, 15 Ks, three of the four hits home runs. But, you know, as we hear often, you know, these guys in the offseason, launch angle. They're working under launch angle. They're getting hitting instructors and help them work in that launch angle because they want to hit the long ball.
We'll talk more about that. As you mentioned, Jerry Augustine's going to join us at 8 o'clock. You can see him now on Fox Sports Wisconsin. If that is an issue in the game or how big of an issue he thinks it is, because I do think that there are some people that would rather it not be this way, where you pretty much, I mean, again, watching the Brewers last night at the plate, you either got a home run or a strikeout. That's pretty much it. And sure, there was a hit here or a walk here, but you pretty much, when you go to a baseball game, you're going to get a home run or a strikeout. And I think that that has started to alienate a lot of people. So we'll talk to Augie about that at 8 o'clock here today. The Cubs did win yesterday, so it was important the Brewers won. They're still a half game up in the NL Central. Do the Cubs play today? You know what? I'll check my phone calendar since I added them.
They're in Los Angeles facing Kershaw to start a four-game series.
Oh, yeah, so they're both out west this week.
Yeah, I think it's Lester for the Cubs tonight.
Because Brewers have the day off, the travel day, and then they'll start the series in San Francisco tomorrow. So more on the Brewers a little later in the show. Jerry Augustine, 8 o'clock. We're going to talk some NBA with Rick Bucher, one of our Radio.com sports insiders, as the KD aftermath continues. And also, what's going to happen with the Bucks? Because KD, maybe being a free agent, maybe not, could affect where the Bucks and Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon go. So we'll talk about that and start to look at the finals tonight, Game 6, between the Raptors and the Warriors. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We'll be able to solidify a lot of this stuff, and it's going to look cleaner.
The players report back 6 weeks from today for training camp. 12 weeks from today is the season opener in Chicago against the Bears. And GM Brian Gutekunst was on the Bill Michaels Show and was asked about the Josh Jones situation and dealing with a player in your locker room that wants to be traded.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but I think the communication is a key, not only with the player, but with with the agent and just kind of, you know, I think laying out your, you know, kind of the way you see it from your point of view and respecting them and their point of view as well. And, these things can be tough, but that's just part of it.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Thanks, as always, to Mike Clemens for his hard work in Green Bay. He will join us a little later in the show as well, around 9:15 or so. And again, here on the Bill Michaels pregame show, we're just getting you ready for the NFC North look-around day. What are the Bears up to? What are the Vikings up to? What are the Lions up to? The pressing questions you have about your rivals in June, they'll answer those today on the Bill Michaels show frames.
Yeah, hopefully they'll figure out who the division champ is going to be. And off-season. I think this is something they do yearly, isn't it?
Yearly?
Monthly?
More like monthly.
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Weekly? Daily. Hourly?
Tomorrow's the NL Central preview.
Mm-hmm.
That does lead into our Twitter Tuesday question today. Actually, it's Thursday, so that didn't make any sense. But we do have Summerfest tickets to give away, which is the important thing. Tweet us at 1057FM, the fan. Who's your least favorite uncommon opponent? So for this question, who's your least favorite? Not the Bears or the Vikings or the Lions. We all hate them. Who's your least favorite uncommon opponent? So we're thinking, don't pick a team in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pick a team in the NL Central. Don't pick a team in the Eastern Conference. Pick a team in the other division.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think at one time you could have said the Dallas Cowboys, but I think that's kind of switched for me. I'll say the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to go Packers here, the Seahawks.
So you're going to go still in the NFC?
Yeah,
but
I'm going to stay Seahawks.
NFC West.
Yeah, too many bad memories out there.
I would go with, God, I almost want to say the Houston Rockets. I can't stand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say, I would think for you, you'd say the Toronto Raptors right now.
Yeah, but I was trying to stay out of the East, and I'm trying to stay out of the NFC.
Yeah, because,
I'm talking about a real uncommon opponent.
Because in basketball, it's like the whole conference. In baseball, it's like you look at the division. You don't look at the divisions for basketball.
Well, you play the Raptors. If you play them three times, there's some teams that you might only play in the East three times. Then your division teams, I think you play four. So it's really not that different. So right now, unless I think of a better one, I'll go with the Houston Rockets. Certainly, I do like the Golden State Warriors. We're aware of that. If you didn't know, my brother works in PR there. It's always important to reset, Chuck, just in case there's new people.
Sure.
But one of my favorite players, Kevin Durant, out, had surgery yesterday, posted an Instagram picture. The phrasing was, hey, everybody, just want to update you all. I did rupture my Achilles. My road back starts now. I'm hurting deeply, but I'm okay. I love basketball. It's just the way things go in this game. I know my brothers can get game six. So if you just read it, it's very positive. But then if you look at the picture, Kevin Durant has never looked unhappier. He's laying there in his bed. He just looks miserable.
You know, hospital pictures, people look so helpless in there, don't they? I mean, they got blankets. They got IVs in them and all that. And, you know, he's just, he's just a lot different than we saw him on Monday night in pregame and, you know, scoring the 11 points or 12 points in the first half there. And the next thing you know, he's in the hospital and won't probably play again until a year. I mean, you rupture your Achilles. That's a little different than tearing your Achilles, from what I understand.
In his Instagram post, he says, I know it's going to be a journey, but I'm built for this. I'm a hooper. I know my brothers can get this game six. I will be cheering with Dub Nation while they do it. So it's sort of a positive phrasing. And again, if you look at the picture, it looks like the caption should say, hello, I am Kevin. I have died.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks so
He does miserable. Look unhappy, doesn't he?
He looks miserable.
He does.
So we've tweeted that at 105.7 FM, the fan.
Always feel, though, Kevin. KD always looks miserable, though. He never looks happy. When he's interviewing, it just doesn't seem like he wants to be there. You know, some guys are just that way. Zach Greinke used to be that way in Milwaukee. I mean, that's just the way he is. Kevin Durant, same thing. I just feel like when he's interviewed, it's just he does not want to be there. You're wasting his time. You know, doesn't seem like a real happy person.
He's been a really interesting, I guess, from a storyline standpoint, part of these NBA finals as we bring in one of our radio.com insiders, Rick Bucher, here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And when you see the picture of Kevin Durant, Rick, it just seems like there's a lot of regret, maybe, possibly, now knowing what we know, hindsight being 2020, is there anybody, would you say, to blame for this situation? Is Kevin Durant now lying in a hospital bed in New York?
Ultimately, from everything that I was told by those close to him, that there was a high probability that something like this was going to happen and that it was not worth the risk. Now, it ended up, you could say, fueled that game five without him. I don't know that we're looking at a game six and extending the series. On the other hand, from Kevin's standpoint, going into free agency, having to rehab, all of the questions that it raises as far as his future with the Warriors, I don't know how you don't look at it as a mistake, but I'm colored by the fact that there were people that were close to KD that were telling him, you should not play.
Talking with Rick Bucher from Radio.com, one of our Radio.com sports insiders. You can find out more at Radio.com. Follow them on Twitter, RDC Sports as well. It is interesting to see with what has happened with Kevin Durant, because these kind of questions that we have about Chris Middleton, Rick, and that we have about some of these other players, I mean, a lot of that could be shifted by this Kevin Durant injury. What ultimately do you think KD does, and what effect do you think that has with the free agency period and the rest of the league?
Well, I was hearing pretty consistently months ago already that it was a done deal, that he was leaving, and that he was headed to the Knicks. And the confidence from the Knicks were planning as if they were going to get KD. This doesn't change their plans. They are, given the opportunity, there's no doubt that they would sign him. And I've heard last night there are a number of teams that would take the same approach. Knowing that they wouldn't have him next year, the opportunity to get arguably the best player in the game and the confidence that whatever it is that he has, he's going to be able to recover from it, largely because of his size and his skill set, his build. This isn't DeMarcus Cousins having an Achilles tear. He's built different. His skill set is different. I think we saw it at the beginning of game five. Like, he doesn't even necessarily have to move that well, but a guy who can shoot like that from 7 feet is going to be a dangerous, dangerous weapon. So I don't know that even the injury really changes the landscape a whole lot as far as how the dominoes are going to fall. The one caveat is with the emotion in this run, with guys sacrificing, with KD coming back, do the Warriors rip up the 1 year and say don't opt into the 1 year? Here's a super max. We're going to carry you through this. That's what's going to be determined in the coming day. Now, he's gone to New York to have the Achilles treated. Some people are reading into that this is a sure sign that he no longer trusts the Warriors' doctors. Kawhi Leonard went to New York when he stopped trusting the San Antonio doctors. But he's going to see the same surgeon who did Kobe Bryant's Achilles. So this may be a matter of simply, I'm going to see the best of the best who's had a proven track record in dealing with this type of injury, as opposed to he feels some kind of way about the Warriors. Now, that said, there had to be some people that persuaded him to make the decision that he did. And if he does feel, and I don't know this, if he does in the coming days, as he looks at this long, arduous comeback, if he in any way attaches that to, you know what, the Warriors kind of led me astray, that gave me didn't quite give me the right perspective on this, then that could ultimately be the final thing that pushes him out the door.
The Milwaukee Bucks have got a few guys who are could be tested a market.
Yep.
What's the market, do you think, going to be like for Chris Middleton coming back to Milwaukee? Is he going to draw some big interest out there?
Again, some of it depends on, I would think, is he a max guy? I have not heard anybody that is going to throw that kind of contract out there for him. Is there going to be interest? Absolutely, there's going to be interest. I put him in the category of the Tobias Harris's. No slight to Tobias or to Chris Middleton, but if I'm putting Kawhi and KD on the top rung, and I don't know that I would put Kyrie on the top rung, but most teams aren't going to blink handing him a Mac. How much are we going to pay for this particular player? Can he carry us? And I feel that the sense is with Middleton, while he was vital for the Bucks, is he a guy that can carry us? He's a guy that's really good playing off somebody else. Does he make others better? That is the question, and I don't get the sense around the league that that is the feeling.
All right, Malcolm Brogdon is a restricted free agent. Is he going to draw out there at all? And what do you see of his chances coming back to Milwaukee?
Yeah, from everything that I know, Milwaukee wants to do everything they can to keep him. So it's a matter of, do you want to put the Bucks in a bind, and do you want to put an offer out there? But yes, there's a lot of respect for Malcolm and what he's done and what he's capable of doing. That said, I would imagine that Milwaukee is going to match any offer that is put out there, because the vital role that he played, the importance that he played as a playmaker, and his ability to play, to be a playmaker and yet work alongside Giannis, I just don't see any way in which Milwaukee's going to let him go.
All right, do you see past couple years, I mean several years, Milwaukee could not be a player for big-time free agents out there.
Yeah.
Milwaukee had to pay that tax. Do you think that's changed with the Bucks?
I don't know that it's the automatic, there's no way I'm going to go there, but I don't know that it's been a dramatic change either, simply because it's just market size. Mm-hmm. I mean, more than anything else. Market size and advertising opportunities, guys are going to weigh that, and the success of the team certainly changes the view of the Bucks. Is it going to be enough to convince a top of the line, a Kevin Durant or a Kawhi Leonard, to look at Milwaukee in a different light? No, but the ability to look at either the B or the C, the guys that are quality players that can be part of your rotation, yeah, I think there's a shift there. Guys want to win, and if there's a great culture, and obviously the facilities are great, and it's shifted somewhat. I just don't know enough, and I don't know that this is ever going to be the case for the Milwaukees or the Charlottes that they're suddenly going to be in the market for the top line free agents. And in the world of the NBA, simply because guys are so recognizable and so visible, there's too much money to be made for them in markets that are bigger. And it has changed in somewhat from a global standpoint, that you don't need to necessarily be in a big market. But as with all of us, if you have the opportunity to have a deeper appreciation for a place like Milwaukee, then like a Giannis Antetokounmpo living there and grows up there and as a basketball player and understands what he has, that can have ultimately an influence. But short of having that experience, it's awfully difficult to convince somebody from the outside, do you want to play in L.A.? Do you want to play in New York? Do you want to play in Florida? Or do you want to play in Milwaukee? There's still going to be a certain degree of stigma to be overcome.
Going to be an interesting offseason. The Bucks certainly a part of that. Rick, we appreciate some time, and we'll chat down the line.
My pleasure, guys.
Rick Bucher on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll talk some NBA Finals throughout the morning as Game 6 is tonight in Golden State. But Rick had a lot of interesting things to say about Chris Middleton, about Malcolm Brogdon. Look, I think there's a difference, Chuck, between if a guy deserves the max and if a guy's going to get the max. And I think what I keep saying is, with the way that these teams have cleared all this cap, you've got the Knicks with two max slots, you've got the Nets with two max slots, the Clippers can get two max slots, the Lakers have a max slot, and they're in on AD. It looks like they're trying to put that together, according to Mark Stein and some other reports. I think what's going to happen is, if these guys like Durant and Kawhi stay, you're going to have all these teams that have cleared all this room, and they're going to be able to offer more money than you would think that, like Chris Middleton or even Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon could get up to $20 million a year. So it's going to be very, I think it's going to be very hard for the Bucks to keep everybody together because there's going to be, there's a lot more other teams that are going to be players, not to mention Indiana and Dallas, which apparently has interest in Chris Middleton and then Malcolm Brogdon. So I wouldn't, just because you don't think Middleton deserves the max, doesn't mean he's not going to get it.
Well, I mean, a team that they're going to give him the max, which I don't think is going to happen. Yeah, and I hear you. Deserving it and getting it are two different things. But I don't. If you sign Middleton, you better get another guy next to him who's probably a better ball player. If you have visions of winning an NBA title or competing for an NBA championship. But you know, Middleton, the best player in the team, that's a lottery team right there. I'll tell you, a guy who's not being talked about a lot, I think, is Kemba Walker. I think Kemba almost passes up Kyrie in my book. I mean, I've been really high in Kyrie, and then came the series against Milwaukee, and I was just so disappointed in Kyrie. And I'm wondering if Irving's stock has dipped a little bit, but it sounds like he might be going to Brooklyn after all.
Yeah, he could be going to Brooklyn. Kemba, I just feel like Kemba's going to stay and take the big payday in Charlotte.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to maybe the Knicks, but then they'd have to sign somebody with him. You know, Kemba by himself is not going to win an NBA title. He needs lots of help too. But I think that'd be you put Kemba on the Bucks, and the Bucks are the best team in the NBA.
I think the question with Middleton and the max is if you think you need another piece by him, is that even if he stays with the Bucks, like then because that's what you're saying is the Bucks, if they run it back, so to speak, they're not good enough to win.
You mean if they bring this same cast
same team? You don't look at them as the favorites in the East?
Well, Toronto's going. I mean, depending on who signs where. I mean, if Toronto brings all their guys back and Milwaukee brings all their guys back, Toronto will probably be favored going in next year. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they'd be favored.
But then who's two? Then it'd be the Bucks.
What's that?
Wouldn't it be Toronto and Milwaukee?
Yeah, I would think. Unless, but we got to see.
If Kawhi's gone, it's clearly Milwaukee.
Yes, depending what other teams do.
So then why, if you're going to be the favorite with Middleton, why wouldn't you want to bring Middleton back?
Yeah, unless somebody else trumps you and gets better than you.
So you want Middleton back, you just don't want him to get the max.
I mean, because I want Brogdon back, too. I want Middleton back. I want Brogdon back. Don't pay Middleton the max. I mean, Booker said right there, he didn't think Middleton was going to get the max.
Well, he also doesn't think Tobias Harris is going to get the max, which Tobias Harris may end up getting the max, too.
Yeah, I mean, but Booker's got the – that's why he's our insider. He's got the – I mean, he talks to these guys every day.
We'll find out. The offseason is going to be crazy. That could start tonight.
Yeah.
It could not start till Sunday. We'll talk more NBA Finals throughout the show. Want to get back to the Brewers. 24 strikeouts and a few home runs. You like watching baseball that way?
No. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.